Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chicago neighborhoods were mostly laid out between 1900 and 1920, and vehicles looked like this, and they were big and they were expensive, so most people still use horse and buggy. After World War II, that would change with the invention of expressways, and cars became a little more affordable, so families started to own two cars. Fast forward to January of 1967, where a record of 23 inches of snow fell on Chicago. Chicago being Chicago, we kind of took that first day off, but that second day, people still had to go to work, people still had to go to school. And that's when the Chicago Dibs rules started. After digging out 23 inches of snow, we dared you to take our parking spot.
That is Sherman Thomas. He goes by Six Figure Dilla on Instagram, also TikTok. He joined us months ago to talk about his venture, and it's only gotten bigger since then. Sherman, welcome back.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. How are you today?
You know, I'm great. You have got to be the hardest working guy in the city of Chicago. So you're still working at ComEd, right?
I'm here at ComEd right now.
Oh, good. So you're moonlighting. You're at ComEd, and you're talking to us on the air. That's perfect.
And wait, just in case somebody important is listening, I took my lunch break now. ComEd said I can do that.
Of course you did. Okay. So tell me about how all this started with your daughter, right?
Yeah. She's a TikTok fanatic, I guess, like all the other kids. And she really wants to be famous. I doubt she'll ever have a regular job in her life. But I was trying to get her to see those people who are famous when they stick out. And so I told everybody else is dancing. You're going to see a million people on TikTok dancing. Let me feed you Chicago history lines, and you'll take off like gangbusters. She didn't believe me, so I did one and been doing them ever since.
And how many have you done, Sherman?
Man, probably 50.
Oh, I mean, because every day I open up Instagram, you're in my feed all the time.
What I'm trying to do now, because the video posts take me so long to do, but people are looking for me almost every day now for different bits of Chicago history. So sometimes I'll tease out what I'm researching. Like I just did the history of Roseland. So all during the week, I'll put up, you know, old photos of Roseland, old newspaper clippings of Roseland, just so that people are getting some Chicago history from me, because it's getting hard to do the videos every day and the way I want to do them.
Well, the videos are great, and I love Chicago. I love Chicago history, so I love it's coming from a regular guy. So you did this for your daughter, but it was your dad who kind of got you involved in Chicago history, as I recall. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. He's no longer with us. He was a Chicago police officer for 30 years, a CTA bus driver for a couple years before that. Grew up on the West Side. And so he was a real big Chicago fanatic. And it just so happened that he lived through a lot of, you know, historical stuff. He was on the police department for the the Democratic riots in 68. Well, probably some race riots around here, too, but he's seen so much. Harold Washington, Eugene Sawyer, Carol Moseley Braun being elected. And so as history was being marked, he'd always make sure that I was paying attention to it. But just general stuff like you better know State and Madison to 0 and 0, or you better know, you know, Stony Island, 1600 East, or he's going to have something to say.
That's great. I love that. Okay, so you mentioned Roseland. I was watching the one on Roseland earlier today. Just to give people an idea, tell us the story of Roseland and how you conveyed it to your Instagram feed or your TikTok feed.
It was a real hard one to tell today because, it, in my opinion, doesn't have the best type of ending, especially what Roseland could become. A lot of people don't know that Roseland started out as an abolitionist hub. There were two guys, a guy by the name of John Tunn, and another guy, Cornelius Kuiper Sr., who were some of the first documented residents of High Prairie, which was the original name for Roseland. And what they did with their farmland and their barns is they hid runaway enslaved African Americans. And because of the connections they had with the farming that they did, they would, you know, hide you in hay and transfer you to the next stop on the Underground Railroad. And so it went from that agricultural area, and then once the town of Pullman to its east got founded, all the other.
I want to interrupt you though, because the Roseland was such, and then the Dutch who didn't stay there, right, went south, and that became South Holland.
Yep, and the original name was South Holland. Well, the translation for that was Low Prairie. So the Low Prairie, right, was South Holland, and High Prairie, the Calumet River being the divider there. So High Prairie was Roseland, and Low Prairie was South Holland. Yes,
okay, and then things get bad.
Yeah, things get bad, but what I want to point out is a lot of times it was the magnates, right, the industrialists that made it happen. George Pullman will say, hey, if you guys don't work faster for me, I'm going to bring those African-Americans up from the South, and they'll do your job for half the price. So by the time blacks start to migrate up here, you've already implanted in the seeds in the Roseland residents that these people are my enemy. And that's what happened. As soon as African-Americans, came home from World War II specifically, they started to build, say, like Argyle Gardens or the Loden Homes. I mean, people were having crosses burned in their lawn just for wanting to have a better life. And then what happened, which was really, really sad, is once white flight fully took place and most of the white residents were gone from Roseland, then, like, places wouldn't insure the homes. And so we're always riding through Roseland and wondering why it looks like that. Well, just as recently as 1981, that place couldn't get insurance from any reputable insurance company, right? And then your house catches on fire when the rinky-dink company is your insurance company. They're not going to pay out.
And that's the red line we've talked about.
Yes.
Right. And so here you have this community that was founded as a stop, early in its history, an underground railroad, ended up being the site of absolute bigotry with crosses burning in people's yards.
It's almost a sundown town in Chicago.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so there's that one. And they're not all so serious. I mean, I guess they're all serious, but some of them have a lighter touch. I didn't realize until I'm watching your feed that the Picasso statue was welded by a bunch of Polish guys from Gary?
Yes, that's correct. But Picasso designed it, and he sent over a 3-foot, base model for them to use. But those steel welders came from Gary, and they are the ones that actually constructed the Picasso. But a lot of the steel that we have downtown comes from Gary, Indiana.
Okay, so I want to talk to you, too, because you've branched out now. You're going to be giving tours?
Yes. Chicago Mahogany Tours is a company that I started. I filled out all the paperwork for like a non-for-profit. I would hope to offer the tours maybe for free at some point later on as that ball gets rolling. But right now, you can go on Eventbrite, Tours by Dilla. The Juneteenth and Father's Day tours are sold out, but I'm also running tours 4th of July weekend. And I'm not crossing Cermak. So we're not going to go north of Cermak. I think that area is covered enough, and we don't pay enough attention to things south of Cermak.
Good for
but
you.
But it's so historical, That place is really some of the oldest homes in the city. So I want to highlight that, particularly in Juneteenth. Here in Chicago, you hear Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Sable was the first non-native settler. That you don't hear about another black guy again. The Harold Washington, that you don't hear about another black guy again. To Obama. And there was a lot of stuff that happened that all Americans appreciate, right? We all love basketball. The Harlem Globetrotters started on the low end down there. They were originally the Chicago Globetrotters, or actually the big Savoy Five.
Hey, Sherman, who's your favorite Globetrotter?
I got to be Curly, and only because I was fortunate enough to meet him when I was a child.
You met him when you were a kid? Who's your second favorite?
Yeah. What's the tall brother?
Oh, yeah.
I'm drawing a blank now.
I'm setting you up because my sports guy's listening. Kevin.
Meadowlark Lemon for sure is
Kevin
number
Paul.
One.
That's what I want to say.
He didn't know who Meadowlark Lemon was last week, Sherman. Do you believe that?
That is quite terrible. He must not have never seen their cartoon as a child.
No. Okay, so we're running out of time. How do people find the tours?
So Eventbrite, Tours by Dilla, or my social media has a link to them.
Yeah.
Six-figure_Dilla.
Everybody should follow you just today to keep up on history. I love that it's coming from a regular guy, and they're just so good. I'm so glad you're doing it. I'm so happy for you, and I want to talk to you again, okay?
Hey, thanks for the support, Steve. I mean it.
No, happy to do it. Sherman Thomas, Dilla the Historian. Check it out. Really, you won't be disappointed. All right, we're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.